Hello, this is Che and Yidet from Whitechapel Anarchist Group, and we are back with the second segment of the special edition of the March 26th March for the Alternative. And that was what you just heard was Alas Barricadas, which is the anarchist anthem. It's the anthem of the Spanish Revolution of the 1930s. So with that happy note, we have here the very inimitable, fiery, straight-talking Steve Headley, London regional organizer for RMT, known to be the RMT, which is known to be the most militant of trade unions in Britain at the present time. Hello, Mr. Headley.
Hello, how are you, Shay?
I'm all right. Nice to have you here, finally. RMT has gone on a few one-day strikes so far, but what's the mood of the majority of the workers really like? Can there be a general strike? What are the constraints placed on unionized workers in this country?
Well, I mean, people have got a choice. We can either have a general strike and bring down this government and their new Labour flunkies who they're likely to put in to replace them, or we can see our welfare state smashed up and destroyed. I mean, that's a choice that workers have. And I think that workers are getting more and more angry. We see that it's a crisis of capitalism has caused this, but the financial crisis has exacerbated it. We see the people have caused the crisis, getting themselves massive bonuses again. The banks have been bailed out. We're told there's no money for old people in the winter, but there's plenty of money to bomb Libya. So,
yes.
You know, people are getting angry, and there's a mood of militancy out there amongst workers.
Cool. Yeah, you're right about that Libya thing. Suddenly there's money to go to war again in the Middle East. With all these problems, you know, But one of the questions people ask is how far are workers are angry, yes, but how far are they prepared to go? Like, you know, we know that there are legal problems with going on strike and stuff, but could paralegal actions be an option? I mean, if worst comes to worst?
Well, at the end of the day, the laws are there, they hold down working people, and we fought laws in the past. Without the people disobeying the laws like a tall puddle martyrs, there wouldn't be a trade union movement.
Okay.
Throughout our history, we've took on and we've disobeyed unfair laws and laws that discriminate against working people, and that's how we built our movement, and that's exactly what we've got to do today. Any anti-trade union laws out there, we've got to break them, and we've got to do that as a mass movement, obviously. But what the government are currently doing is reinterpreting the current anti-trade union laws to make it more and more difficult for us to go on strike legally. So we've got to take a decision and bite the bullet as a movement somewhere down the line that we've got to actually fight this, and we've got to go on strike to defend our interests. We can't be handcuffed by these laws forever.
Yeah, you're right, and I hope that tomorrow, it all starts off tomorrow. But, I mean, now talking about tomorrow, it's amazing that hundreds of thousands of people from all walks of life will be out on the streets. But one last question. The choice of Hyde Park by TSC has a lot of people puzzled. It's as non-political a place as could be. What's the logic behind that? And, I mean, I'm personally surprised by Labour MPs speaking at the...
Can I just say it? Because Ed Miliband is going to be talking, isn't he, Steve? Yeah. And, like, what are your personal...
I mean, they're as scissor happy as the Tories. That's the point.
Ed Miliband should be strung up from one of the trees in Hyde Park. I mean, he said he was going to bring in these cuts just at a slower pace. We've got Labour councillors all over the country who are quite happy to jump on stages and say that they're against the cuts. Well, and the cuts are bad. At the end of the day, none of them are voting against them. They're all putting them through. The Labour councillors are putting these through. Now, there's councils in Poplar in the 1920s, in Liverpool and Lambeth in the 1980s. They all opposed the Tory cuts, and they opposed them by putting up their hands and voting against them and refusing to implement cuts that attack working class people. And if this Labour Party can't do the same today, they've got no right to be on that stage. Now, the TUC are quite happy to sit back there and blame the Tories and the Liberals for these cuts, hoping that the Labour Party are actually going to get back in. And that's going to be their strategy, obviously, to get people back in, to be elected. But we as a trade union movement can't be complicit in that, because those people in the Labour Party are only going to bring in the cuts anyway when they're back in power. So we've got to say it loud and clear. You know, these cuts are capitalist cuts. They're anti-working class cuts. And whoever is implementing them, they've got no right to be standing on that stage in Hyde Park.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, well said. With that note, I hope I see you there tomorrow on the streets. And thank you so much for being with us.
Okay.
But see you, Steve.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Why are you poets so fascinated with madmen?
We have much in common.
You both turn your backs on life.
We both select from life.
A man has to come to terms with life as it is.
Life as it is. I've lived for over 40 years and I've seen... life as it is. Pain. Misery. Cruelty beyond belief. I've heard all the voices of God's noblest creature. Moans from bundles of filth in the street. I've been a soldier and a slave. I've seen my comrades fall in battle or die more slowly under the lash in Africa. I've held them at the last moment. These were men who saw life as it is. But they died despairing. No glory, no brave last words, only their eyes filled with confusion, questioning why. I do not think they were asking why they were dying, but why they had ever lived. When life itself seems lunatic, who knows where madness lies? Perhaps to be too practical is madness. To surrender dreams, this may be madness. To seek treasure where there is only trash. Too much sanity may be madness. And maddest of all, to see life as it is and not as it should be.
Why are you poets so fascinated with madmen?
We have much in common.
You both turn your backs on life.
We both select from life.
A man has to come to terms with life as it is.
Life as it is. I've lived for over 40 years and I've seen life as it is. Pain, misery, cruelty beyond belief. I've heard all the voices of God's noblest creature. Moans from bundles of filth in the street. I've been a soldier and a slave. I've seen my comrades fall in battle or die more slowly under the lash in Africa. I've held them at the last moment. These were men who saw life as it is. But they died despairing. No glory, no brave last words. Only their eyes.
Hello. We have up next the Global Women's Strike.
Yep.
Hello, on the line we have Kim.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you? You all right?
Yes, we're fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, just for people that don't know what your organisation is about,
yep.
What is your organisation?
Okay, well, the Global Women's Strike is a grassroots women's international network, and on and around the 8th of March each year, we take strike action, but in fact, we've now stretched it through across the year. So, for instance, our main demand is demanding investment in caring and not killing. So we basically want all military budgets of every single kind to go into caring, starting with women and children. And therefore, there will be nobody hungry, nobody without health care, nobody without water, shelter, housing, basic literacy. Okay, so in a nutshell, that's kind of what the strike is demanding internationally.
Okay. Can you talk a bit about the Mothers' March?
Sure.
That you had recently?
Yes. We marched through central London ourselves, and we were demanding, we were calling for everyone's survival and welfare and to end cuts, poverty and discrimination.
Mm.
And we were marching because, you know, mothers do never get any recognition. I mean, it wasn't only for mothers. It was a march for everyone. And in fact, most women are carers, often looking after relatives, parents, you know, nephews and nieces, etc. And we want that caring work to be valued and properly counted in society. And therefore, if they do that, they are in a much, you know, you can't make the same cuts because we are working and the resources and the services and the welfare benefits that we, you know, have been entitled to, you know, are some kind of recognition that, you know, those of us who are doing caring work in society have to have those resources, have to have those benefits.
So basically, your like organisations, a lot of organisations that help the vulnerable are going to be affected by the cuts, and they're not going to. Could you talk a bit about that? Like how?
Yes. Well, a lot of people in our network. I mean, we have, you know, people, single mothers like myself, who have been on welfare, who are now being thrown off and having to find a job. In you know, in this whole kind of recession, there are no jobs. Mm. They're also paid extremely badly. As you know, all the local councils are now cutting our childcare, cutting after-school clubs, and you know, the cheaper kind of childcare that we could ever afford anyway if we did want to take wage work. Lots of elderly people are, you know, losing their services. So already we work closely with a group called WinVisible, which is a women with disabilities group, and they already have been supporting and helping people who can't get the services they need from Camden Council, for example, where we're based. And a number of people have died already. A lot of elderly people, people in their 90s, are not getting home help and home care.
Yeah.
There was another woman who was in her 40s, an ex-teacher, and she was disabled, could never get an accessible flat, and she died in her flat. And this is what's already happening without the cuts. And, you know, we know that the most vulnerable people, you know, will suffer most and will die from many of the cuts, and that is elderly people, people with disabilities, people who are isolated, mothers and children. A lot of mothers will be forced to put our kids into all sorts of horrendous childcare in order to go out and find a job or have to work for our benefits, because the workfare they're bringing in is really, you know, brutal. I know it's for everybody. It's not just for, you know, mothers. It's for, you know, it's all people. So we're, you know, that's some of the, you know, campaigns that we're involved with as well.
Yeah, well, if that's not enough of a reason to go and fight the government, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
What are your plans for the day, for tomorrow?
Well, we're going to be gathering at 10:30. We're hoping to have a large contingent. A lot of the people who came to the Mothers' March, we'd be delighted if they, and other people, of course, you know, joined us again. It's that, you know, everybody is welcome, men and women, children, everybody, as I say. And we're going to meet at Cleopatra's Needle on Victoria Embankment. That's definitely our intention. We were going to be there at 10:30, and or near that needle if it's kind of very crowded. And we're going to have a little speaker, you know, a sound system, and we want to have a speak out. So we'd like people to come and speak on the megaphone about what the cuts mean to them and their communities. And we want to have that PA system with us while we kind of march, you know, keep marching.
And burst some ears.
Pardon?
Burst some eardrums.
Yep, that's right. And
There are rumours circulating that the dreaded Harriet Harman is going to be involved at and marching with the Women's Bloc.
Right.
If that's true, what are your opinions on that?
Well, that's absolutely outrageous. And I think the women, if it's true she's with the Women's Bloc, I'm not sure she's with the Women's Bloc or if she's with the Party Bloc, but whoever's bloc she's in, they should get rid of her. And they should tell her that she is not welcome. She is one of the most, you know, she has been a real vicious woman in power, feminist, so, you know, so-called feminist, who didn't care one thing about cutting benefits. And she was instrumental with the Labour Party in bringing in the whole cuts to the welfare state. And, you know, when you know, New Labour got in 97, it was her who backed the cut to lone parent premium. I don't know if people remember back then that when we were single parents and we were on income support, we also had a single parents premium, okay, which was recognition. It was extra work and money raising a kid on your own. And she was instrumental in cutting that, and she's been instrumental in forcing mothers out to work, calling us workless, that the work we do of raising our families, looking after our communities, looking after elderly relatives, all that kind of caring work, she called it workless. And I don't think they should have her anywhere. I think she should be isolated and asked to leave the march, frankly.
No, I couldn't agree more. Okay, well, thank you very much. Maybe in just one word, what do you hope, what are your hopes for the day in a sentence?
Well, it would be fantastic if, you know, I mean, I've heard people want to turn Trafalgar Square into Tahrir Square. I mean, ready for that.
Yes.
Lots of speak out, lots of people connecting with each other and, you know, working out plans for what's going to come after this. You know, look, I hope we can I mean, look, I really hope we can have a massive impact and, you know, shut down London for at least the day, if not longer.
Yeah, no, cool, cool. Well, thank you very much. And I'll try and look out for you tomorrow.
Yeah, great. We'll look out for you too.
Take care. Thank you. Right, bye.
Okay, bye.
What do we want?
Leave workers!
When do we want them?
Now!
What do we want?
Leave workers!
When do we want them?
Now!
We don't want the playgrounds to close. And double class, people are, the government is taking out money of stuff, and we need, they keep taking out money of different stuff. So, how much is it? £9,000 for uni. If we go to university, that's just going to be a waste of money, because then 3 years,
yeah.
3 years, we're going to have to pay. £27,000 for three years in university. I'm not having that. And double class, we have to pay for our transport. We're only young children. Think of the future.
Yeah, but the education and our future.
We're from the Adventure Playground. It's not a lot. We've got a bit of space and some play workers all working part-time. It's only, you know, it's like £25,000 a year. That's all we want. And they're cutting that. And we know they have the money. You know, there's money for the banks, there's money for Vodafone, there's money for war, there's money for everything except for the young people.
We've been doing it for 16 years, running the day centre on a voluntary basis with very little support, financial support from the council.
If we close it, what is going to happen to people? Because they're all the old people, some is the sick people, handicapped. And they sick home after. What are you going to do after council? What are you going to do? Bloody hell, isn't it?
My mother and my sister comes every week, many, three, four times. They really enjoy. My sister is, mother is 82 years old, very old. And my sister is learning disability. She really come and do a lot of prayer and get together. We celebrate all the religious festival. And they are really happy. We do like summer coach also, trip also. So they really enjoy. And this is like their home, you know. They don't want to miss it. They are very upset about it.
It's a self-run organization by the volunteers. It looks after 60-plus elderly women, right up to 80. Some are disabled. Some are not together, perhaps. But this is the only place they get to meet other people.
If we close the center, how we can stay at home? We become sick and depressing. And where do we go? This is our life. We can enjoy, we can talk.
In a year's time, you're going to find a lot of people going into medium care or high care. We start ending paying loads of money to look after them. And it'll cost us 10 times more.
No, it's no more! No more!
I'm from the Disability Women's Project. We are here today because we have received 55% cut. And we say no more cut. This cut has to be stopped. For the Turkish-speaking community, especially women who suffer from domestic violence.
My wife has had her DLA cut. I work part-time, so I get tax credit. Now the tax credits are going. People who receive personal care, who do things like incontinence pads and that kind of thing, are being asked to pay for them themselves. I mean, unbelievable what's going on. I don't really blame the council, because the council are having the cuts imposed on them by the government. So they're being forced into an impossible and invidious position. So we've got to make sure that they don't backslide and fight for us rather than kowtowing to Cameron.
Do we want to save our youth centres?
Yeah!
Do we want to save our day centres for the elderly?
Yeah!
What about our parks and green spaces?
Yeah!
And our libraries?
Schools.
On the 26th of March, the TUC is calling a massive demonstration. Coaches.
Hello. That was the Hackney Town Hall storming early on this year. So it's picking up speed, it's picking up momentum, and you know things are going to change, and things are going to only get better from now on. So. Now, next, we have Mark Bergfeld, member of the National Executive Council of the National Union of Students, one of the principal organizers of the Education Activist Network, which has played a key role in organizing the current student movement. He's also a member of the Socialist Workers' Party. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Yeah, good afternoon, Che. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm great, actually. You've been involved with the student movement here from the very beginning, especially with the Education Activist Network. Can you talk us through the story of this momentous and inspiring movement that no one saw coming, to be honest?
Yeah, I think the story starts in 2009 with the occupations we saw over Gaza. 30 universities had been occupied when Israel launched its murderous attack on Gaza, and we saw the first seeds of resistance being sowed throughout the universities and colleges up and down the country. The story continues then in 2010, where we saw several university lectures, branches going on strike, and students playing an active part in delivering solidarity. With the increase of the fees on the horizon, the education cuts looming, we saw several occupations in the last academic year. So this academic year, when we knew that the fees vote was going to take part in Parliament, everyone started to mobilize, and even members of the Labour Party, members, disenfranchised liberal democratic voters came out, and a lot of students who hadn't been previously active within the movement came out onto the streets and occupied their universities and led walkouts out of their colleges.
Good, great. That's I'm proud to be part of that movement. Now, I've heard that you're standing for the president of the National Union of Students. NUS, if I'm right, never had a radical reputation. I mean, if it has done anything radical, it's because it was really severely pushed. And most university students don't really feel a part of it. Now, how does that fit in with your current radicalism? Is NUS passé, like the parliament is, for example?
Yeah. Well, the starting point for us is that we don't believe that the National Union of Students has led its fight correctly. It has let students down in the current students' movement significantly by condemning the supposed violence, by condemning students for walking out of their lectures and not supporting the occupation financially, morally, and politically. So me as a radical and a revolutionary just can say that I want to fight within NUS, but I want to also fight on the streets for a better world and also for free education. The chances of me winning presidency in NUS are very slim, but because of the movement and the momentum the movement has created over the last couple of months before Christmas, we can actually say now that we're pushing NUS further and further to the left, so that now my opponents, who are anything but radical, are calling for further demonstrations and are also calling for a collaboration together with the Education Activist Network and the National Campaign Against Fees and Cuts and other parts of the students' movement, like the occupations that have been taking place.
Yeah, well, I just hope that, you know, NUS really perks up. But finally, one last question about tomorrow. What's the plan as far as students are concerned? I've heard the slogan, turn Trafalgar Square into Tahrir Square. What do you want to see happen?
So from 10 o'clock in the morning, we will be assembling at ULU. We have an education block which will include the lecturers who have been on strike this week. It will include trade unionists, but it also will include the students who have been leading the fight back against austerity and against the cuts to public services. And from there on, we will be joining the demonstration and are calling for different actions to be taking place throughout the day. Our final action of the day is going to be to turn Trafalgar Square into Tahrir Square. Almost all of the student groups and student people in the students' movement have signed up to it and are pledging to stay for 24 hours or, if need be, even longer to occupy Trafalgar Square and make it a place of people's power where we assert our alternative to cuts, our alternative to capitalism, and ultimately make it a launch pad for coordinated strike action after March 26th and ultimately a campaign for a general strike.
Brilliant. In international solidarity, viva la revolution. Out with your sleeping bags. Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Next up, we have Sebastian from Wivenhoe branch of CND with a special guest interviewee. But unfortunately, Sebastian couldn't make it here, so we couldn't have him live. So basically, we've pre-recorded this interview. And we thought it was worth it because the special guest is just so special. So we'll put it on now.
Thank you for calling the Metropolitan Police Central Control Room. We answer calls for all police stations across London. Your call may be recorded.
Police operator, how can I help?
Hi, my name's Sebastian. I'm ringing up from the C&D in Wivenhoe to get some information about the march on the 26th on Saturday.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, whether you can answer some questions I got about the march.
Hopefully, yeah. What are your questions?
Well, I'm from the C&D up in Wivenhoe, and we're getting a minibus down for the day. It's kind of mainly OAPs and stuff just coming down for the day to march along. I figured we'd ring up just to clarify kind of any points of problems we had in the group meeting the other day.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, I was just wondering about travel for the day. Like, where is it best to kind of... We've got a kind of plan to go down and where to park, and then we'll kind of be going out on the march site. The march has all been approved by the TUC and the police together. So where's best to start from? Is it just to go to Embankment and follow from there?
It's up to you. I mean, you're old people. I mean, how far can they walk?
Yeah, they'll be okay to walk quite well. I mean, one of the kind of problems with travelling we were worried about is... like the kind of like being on their feet all day is about kettles. We've been reading a lot in the papers about kettling and being held up, and they're kind of a little bit worried about being kept in central London all kind of day, especially if it's really, really hot. Like, they're not really that mobile, so they won't be able to move out the way. Like, how is it best for them to avoid a kettle?
Okay. Have you got the information leaflet and everything?
No, we haven't.
Okay, let me have a see. I've got a copy of it here. Bear with me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the computer's a bit slow, so just bear with me.
Ah, computers. So are you getting a lot of calls about this?
No, my first one, actually. Nobody's asked me about
really?
Yeah.
Maybe no one's going to be there. Not much interest.
It's just you guys, yeah. Right, I'm just looking at it now. It doesn't help that it's, like, actually on its side. So I'll tilt my head a bit. Right. What it says on "Will I be contained?" This is on about kettling.
Yeah.
Containment, sometimes referred to in the media as kettling, is used as a last resort when there is a serious disorder or to prevent an imminent breach of the peace. If containment is implemented, it will be in place for no longer than is necessary to deal with the issue. The officers will be mindful of your welfare, and they will attempt to let you know what is happening and help you get out as soon as practical. Suspected of being involved in the disorder, you may be questioned and asked to leave the containment. Questioned as you leave the containment.
Okay, so it shouldn't. Yeah, so you're saying that it'd be okay, but, like, people won't be contained because, like, police will tell them first.
Sorry, what was that?
So people will be told first before anything happens. So, like, there's no chance of us really getting stuck in anything. Like, people will be told first. There'd be a warning or something.
All it says is the officers will be mindful of your welfare, and they will attempt to let you know what is happening and help you get out as soon as it is practical.
Okay.
Don't say that you're going to be told first, or that they're going to keep you out of it, but, you know, it's one of those things that can't predict what's going to happen.
Okay. I mean, obviously, our lot aren't going to be, like, it's mainly old C&D people, so we're not going to be getting involved in really anything happening, disobedience kind of things like that. How would it be best to kind of avoid those situations? Is there kind of any flare-up points that you're thinking?
What they think is where... Let me just go back up. Right. They're posting officers in certain places. This recent process has led to some buildings being targeted and damaged, which you've obviously seen on the news.
Yeah.
So a few examples like Downing Street, the Treasury, and House of Parliament.
So stay away from those areas.
Yeah, probably those areas.
Yeah, okay.
If you're really concerned about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's one of those things you're really going to have to see how it goes on the day and on with the group of people that you're walking with and the surrounding people. Keep your eye on their sort of behaviour. If you think there's sort of people that might, you know, you could possibly see kicking.
I mean, yeah, I've obviously kind of looked at the internet before, kind of bringing you up, and there's like some groups, like one of them is the Whitechapel anarchist group. They're talking about the things like building barricades and petrol bombs and stuff like this. Like, you know, obviously pretty mad stuff. Like, you know, is there any kind of way to spot them and move away from them or anything? Like,
Not that I'm aware of, unfortunately. I think if there was, the police would be spotting them first of all. Do you know what I mean? And getting them out of the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good. Right. So just kind of play it.
In the outbreak of any violence or disorder, move away from it immediately. Create a distance between you and those taking part.
Yeah.
And don't stand and watch, as that might not be safe to do so.
To just run away.
Just get away from them as calmly and as quickly as possible.
Oh, okay. Also, we've got a few local photographers coming down with us from the With an Old Gazette. Just about like taking photographs for the day, like that's all right. I heard there was the NUJ complaining about like ability to take photographs in protests. Like, there's not any problems with that, is there? Like,
I don't believe so. I'll have to go and check that with somebody. So bear with me. There shouldn't be, because you're allowed to take photographs of whatever you want whilst being on the street. But bear with me, I'll be back now. 2 seconds.
Oh, thank you.
Hi there, sorry about that.
Hey, that's all right.
Hiya, right. No, we haven't got any information about you're not allowed to take photographs at all.
Oh, great. Oh, that's good.
If you want, there's a big list I've just found of frequently asked questions.
Yeah.
It's on our website, actually. It's www.met.police.uk.
Yeah.
/TUC.
Yeah.
And that's all about the march. There's a leaflet on there you can like download and have a look at.
Oh, brilliant.
Also a list of frequently asked questions about what's going on.
Oh, okay.
You can get free updates direct to your phone, apparently, by texting the word police to 83123.
Oh, so the police will like text you what's going on in the day?
I guess so. I guess that's what it means.
That's handy.
They've also got a Twitter page as well.
Wow, you're really up in...
Which you can follow, yeah.
Media savvy, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's great.
But it's all on our website there at metpolice.uk.
Yeah.
/TUC.
All right, that's great. Well, I'll check that out in a moment. There's one other question I've got that's probably more handy to ask you. It feels a little bit silly, but one of the people in our group asked about violence on the day. Like, they're actually in a wheelchair, and they saw some footage of a person in a wheelchair being attacked on the BBC. Like,
right.
Well, I mean, what's the story of that like? Just the kind of things, like, if people do, obviously we're going to be avoiding things, but if people find themselves in a situation where they're confronted by police, what's the best thing to do? Like, move out of the way or lay down or...
Move out of the way. Give the officers enough room to work.
Yeah.
Work with the people that are causing the disorder. Get away from the people that are causing the disorder. Give the police room to move.
Yeah. What if the police start like hitting you and like using shields and stuff? What would you say then? Like, just get back and stuff.
Police shouldn't, unless you're the one kicking off, causing all the problems and disorder, they shouldn't start hitting you.
I mean, it's just the footage of that kid in the wheelchair. Like one of the people, they're only 16 in a wheelchair, and they're just asking. Like, they're kind of worried about coming down that because they're quite scared of the police. Like, you know, you've got weapons. And like bats and things like that, and dogs and vans and stuff, and they were a bit unnerved about that.
Yeah, I can't really comment on that. Whether the police are gonna hit you, all I can say is that they're not gonna hit you if you're not
unless you deserve it. Yeah.
No, unless you're the one creating the disorder, and that is necessary to prevent disorder and violence.
All right. Okay.
Then they shouldn't do it.
All right. Okay. All right, well, I think that's everything. Cheers, and thank you. I'll pass it on.
Yeah, have a look on the website. There's a link there as well for arrangements for access and disability as well.
Oh, great. Okay.
Oh. There's like a whole page for that bit, actually.
Oh, thanks very much for your help. Like,
that's all right.
I'll see you on the 26th.
All right, take care. Cheers, bye-bye.
Didn't really trust him that much. Seemed a bit conniving, snide, sneaky, and a bit suspicious. I mean, you know, avoid Parliament, avoid Downing Street, Whitehall on the day. These are the bastions of democracy of Britain. We shouldn't be avoiding them. No, no, f*** this. No, that's not on. I mean, you know, why? Why? We shouldn't be avoiding that. I'm going to be with a Whitechapel anarchist group. Let's burn them. Let's f*** them up. I ain't having this anymore. Yeah, let's petrol bomb the police. Death to Scotland Yard. Burn the yard. Kill them all. Let's see it. 26th, we'll have them. Have them all.
Up next, we have Sean from Real News, an alternative, people-oriented news media channel that has done amazing work filming the anti-cuts campaigns of all sorts. I must personally thank him for the mountain loads of time he spent filming the occupation crew and our work at the London Metropolitan University in December last year. He was really indispensable. Hi, Sean. So nice to have you here.
Oh, Shay, how you doing? All right.
Yeah, I'm good. Real News has been filming the anti-cuts campaigns and student occupations all along. Can you talk about the experience a little bit about Real News, what it is, and if you intend to do something with all that visual archive?
Well, all the stuff is out there for people to use. I mean, we bring Real News out every 2 months, more or less, and then there's about an hour and three quarters of films on each one, but we try and keep it short enough so people can use in uni meetings and stuff like that. So you get about 7 or 8 on each one, and basically you can find them all on the website, and we're increasingly putting them up on the net as well so people can use them.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Can you talk a little about the anti-cuts campaigns that you've covered?
It's been interesting, really, because I think after all the stuff that happened with the students before Christmas, I think people were expecting things to take off a lot quicker than they did, maybe. The demonstration tomorrow, I think a lot of people around Christmas are thinking, well, this is too far ahead, and it's starting to feel like it's amazing timing on the part of the TEC. And obviously, that's not on purpose. I think the TEC were basically pretty much doing their contractual obligation demonstration, hoping everyone will forget about it by putting it a long time in the future. But I think what's happened is that the councils haven't really... They delayed saying what the cuts were going to be in a lot of places. I know where I live in Hackney, although they've announced a cut budget, it's not very specific what those cuts are. I know in other places like Haringey and Camden, they have found out what those cuts are and they have announced what they're cutting. And, you know, a lot of the service units have come out on that. But I think there's been a problem up until now in terms of all the trade unions have been waiting for each other to start calling action. So I know that there's people in the PCS who are ready to go out on strike, but are waiting to see what the other unions are doing. And it was brilliant to see UCU finally actually coming out on strike this week, really. But it's something that's building. I mean, everyone we've talked to and we've filmed and the things we've been to, you can tell that people are really angry about everything. It's so clearly hitting the poor, the young, the elderly, the most vulnerable people in the society. It's a real class war going on here, I think.
Brilliant. Class war is exactly the phrase I was looking for. Now, you're a media man, Sean, so I'm going to ask you this question. I have to. Media is like a double-edged sword. It can cut both ways in general atmosphere of hysteria, paranoia, and heightened anxieties. What do you think is the role of alternative media? Where's the borderline between documenting a historical moment and leaving a person alone, because it's happening a lot these days?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think we've always called ourselves video activists rather than media or journalists, because one, because we're completely biased. We're political activists as well as going around with video cameras. So everything we do, we try and film from the point of view of the needs of the movement or the particular struggle or campaign, which means it's dictated by the needs of those of the people in that campaign. So we would never film anything that people don't want us to film. And by the same token, we make a real point of, you know, finding out how video would be useful as a weapon within a campaign or struggle, and then we do our best to sort of, you know, do what people want out of that. But I do know, you know, I was talking to people, I mean, especially a couple of 14-year-old kids who daughters of a friend of mine who were attacked by the police on one of the student demonstrations before Christmas. And then they said they found about 30 cameras in their face. One of them was having a panic attack, the other one was on the ground, and nobody was going to get them any help. And even they said, well, look, can you stop filming and just go and get us some help, because my friend's in real trouble here. they were more concerned about getting their picture to the paper or whatever.
Exactly.
I think we sort of stand a lot more in the tradition of people like indie media who are coming from a completely different tradition of...
Yes, media for the people, by the people and of the people. So we have to wind up, but one last question. So this is going to, what you were talking about just now, it's going to happen a lot tomorrow, I guess. I mean, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. So what do you think you will be doing on the day? And how are you going to, because footages have been used by the police to victimize protesters, how are you going to deal with that?
Yeah, it's an issue. I think these days police have got so many of their own cameras. I've never had any footage taken off me. Partly we make it very difficult for them to even think about doing that. But also, I haven't actually seen the police trying to get any footage off people for ages. They seem to rely on their own cameras.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of what we do is we're always very clear about being in the centre of the protesters. So it'd be very difficult for them to get near us. And I think the other thing tomorrow, there's going to be so many of us out on the streets tomorrow. I think the police are going to have their hands full tomorrow.
Brilliant, brilliant, Sean. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for with you, Sean. But we will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right, cheers, Shay.
Yeah, bye. Thank you.
Up next, we have Tony, who is involved with the Haringey Alliance for Public Services. Hi, Tony.
It's Greg.
Oh, whoops, is it Greg? This has been such a mental day. I want to shoot myself in the head.
No, we're live.
I know we're live, and I'm saying this live. Okay. I know. Okay, all right then. So we're here with Greg. I'm not as nervous now. He's a comrade from the Whitechapel Anarchist Group, aren't you?
Yep, that's me. I am involved.
And he's also a filmmaker. So, Greg, what are your thoughts of the cuts and the student demos?
Well, I think with the student demos, it's been an amazing time that a lot of people never kind of foresaw. The smashing of the windows at Millbank was kind of very symbolic of this new street-based kind of radical movement. Like, people actually... in this country, giving a shit and
I'm gonna have to cut you off now.
People actually finally kind of, you know, pulling their thumbs out and actually getting involved once again. So I think the government, at completely, as with Thatcher, where she picked off things one at a time, here the kind of condemned government has kind of just thrown, unleashed the cuts all in one go, and probably wasn't expecting this level of people actually resisting. So it's been an interesting development. It really is kind of a many-headed hydra, which we see like historically through Britain. People do, whereas things like the poll tax, or even going back to things like the Gordon riots, people within this country, there's definitely a radical zeal where people do get up, do take to the streets. And I think tomorrow's going to show that. It's going to be an interesting day. The weather looks good, and everyone that I know from all walks of life is talking about being there. So it should be an exciting day.
Yep. As for WAG, just a couple of things that you've done towards this whole cut, the town hall stuff?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm banned from my town hall, unfortunately, Tower Hamlets. So I went there as a citizen of the Tower Hamlets borough, and I was refused entry because I'm supposedly a troublemaker, pointed out within Tower Hamlets. So I don't know how they got that information. I think that's directly from the police.
So you weren't allowed in to voice your opinion?
The police didn't want any of us kind of going anywhere near it. I don't know if anyone knows the Tower Hamlets Town Hall. It's very much hidden away. It's kind of a giant kettle. So there wasn't any big demonstrations outside, as we've seen like in Haringey, Hackney, and down in Lambeth. They've been incredible, those kind of really localised demonstrations and occupations. So we just went down to our town hall to kind of basically sit in the meeting and voice our objection to it. But yeah, we weren't allowed in and picked off by the Met Police.
Lovely. And we only have time for one last question. Where do you think the anarchists are left now with everything that's going on? Are we the alternative from the left political way of thinking? Where do you think is our, what our next steps are?
Well, I think fundamentally we want anarchism and the left to be redundant, really. I mean, I do class myself as an anarchist. I'm involved, obviously, in the Whitechapel anarchist group, so I'm active as that. But I think all of us in WAG, we're not in it just because we want to be a group. What we want is to actually see a revolutionary change within the country and hopefully globally. Okay. So where people actually, you know, do take over the running of their day-to-day lives. So really, okay. I hope that people that can consider themselves anarchists get involved within their communities, within their neighbourhoods,
yep.
in their workplaces, and we can move beyond our kind of ideologies into a new world.
Yep, good, great, great. Thank you. Thank you very much, and I'll speak to you soon.
I'll see you later, yeah. All right, cheers.
Do you hear the people singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
Will you join in our crusade? Who will be strong and stand with me? Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see?
Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free.
Do you hear the people singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
Will you give all you can give so that our banner may advance? Some will fall and some will live. Will you stand up and take your chance? The blood of the martyrs will water the meadows of France.